Hey, Pupster, welcome to Train a Dog Podcast, and we thank you for supporting us for Season 1. We are now into our Season 2, and we want to thank you for your continuous support. Pups Dog Training promotes positive training at its best, kind, fair, and effective. And we are setting out this podcast again, right? It's because we fully believe that owning a dog is an amazing and rewarding experience, but also a responsibility and not a luxury. Training your dog properly will lead you to greater understanding of the animal, and we firmly believe in the dog-owner relationship being one of the mutual understanding and respect. We immerse you fully in the dog training process, and with this holistic approach, we believe owners end up learning as much, if not more, than their dogs. Our goals is to enhance and to build a better quality of life for you and your dog through the various dog sport activities available, be it as dog training, basic dog obedience training, or competitive dog training. This way, we also helps to refine the communication skill between you and your dog. There is more to dog training than just obedience training. And you can find us on our website. Right, our URL is www.pups.com.sg. Pups as in PUPS.com.sg. And we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handling of PupsSG, PUPSSG. And you also can find us in our blog and also our YouTube, right, with the handling of Dog or Pups Jamming Studio. And in our blog will be Pups Blog Series. Hey, Pupster. Thanks again for joining me for Train Your Dog Podcast. And I'm your host, this is Dexter. So this week, we will be talking about play and engagement in dog training. When it comes to think about play, I would like to bring to you what it actually means in our normal Webster dictionary. Right here it says, play is basically a move, a series of moves calculated to arouse friendly feeling, usually used with the mate, right? So let me repeat again, right? Play is a move or series of moves calculated to arouse friendly feeling, right? So this is to play with your emotion. So play involves emotion. Okay, that's something that I want you to pay attention in. Okay, so let's look into the word engagement. What it really does mean, engagement in the dog training. Right, so engagement in dog training is the ability to create a relationship with your dog where you are the reward. So I repeat again, you are the reward. The human, the handler, the owner becomes the reward. Engagement, when being done well, your dog will insist on continual activity with you as the owner, right? So let me just repeat that again. Engagement, when done well, will have your dog insist on continuation of activity with their owner, right? So this is again the capability. What does it really means, play and engagement, right? This is just to give you a good feeling again, understanding of what is the word play and engagement, and what we do as a dog trainer, as a dog owner, as a dog person who want to have to build a relationship with your dog, to engage some healthy activity, to continuously to make our dog think, work and also exercise them in the daily ritual, right? This is what we actually means by that, right? So, and how do we build play or engagement with your dog? Usually, we use dog treat, we use toy, we use praise to engage your dog when they find you, right? So basically what we, one of the very common game that I always play with my dog will be the hide and seek. So I will just go to my dog and I will tickle them a bit, or I'll toss a food across the other side of the room, and then they run towards the dog will run towards the food, and I ran away and I go and hide and I will call the dog's name, and if the dog comes, it will try to find me. So when he finds me, and then I will praise you know, use my verbal praise, use my hand to pat the dog, use the treat to entice him, use the toy to play with him, so that he will find that it's always beneficial for them to look for us because we are his benefits in the sense, right? So this is to continuously, when you practice engagement, usually it's easier to train your dog, and you will have a stronger bond, and can handle distraction, and the end of the day is to build a better training relationship with your dog. So this is something that I want to bring to your attention, right? So when we come to think about play, right? So obviously when it comes into the real aspect of training, play, we are talking about the, you know, getting the dog to be interested to bite the toy. You know, that's one of the aspects. So the dog start being active, having the interest to want to go for the toy. So that is the acquisition state where the dog goes for the toy. Right, after the dog goes for the toy, you know, and the second part of the play, I will usually say that, okay, you come back with the toy, right? You come back with the toy, and once I have the toy with me, and then I will teach you the last part of the training, which is drop of the toy, right? To basically release the toy, right? But instead of doing all this, let us make it a lot easier, a lot plainer for us to understand. Right, so in my mind, a very good a game of play, a game of engagement will be the tug of war. Right? A tug of war is something that I think is very useful in terms of the dog training, because the rope itself doesn't come alive when it's not on the other end of the hand, the owner that's holding it. Right, so when the rope is being tossed, you know, the rope basically stay dead, or as dead as it can be, because nobody is tugging it, nobody is making it fun. Therefore, when the dog goes for it, there won't be a lot of prolonged interest, right? It may have a very light interest in the very beginning because it's something new. The dog goes for the bite, or we call goes for the kill. It goes and bite it, which is good, you know. However, being the toy being as dead as it is, because no, you are not on the other end of the toy, holding on it, you know, creating the chase feeling, creating the tugging instant, you know, where continuously you will engage the dog, you will arouse the dog, you know, his emotion, to kick in what we call the play drive of the dog, where he will then engage in the game of the play. Alright, so this is what we are looking at. Right, so let's look at the act of play.
Podcast is sponsored by Pups Dog Training. Pups is a positive dog training school. We train dogs from puppy to advanced. Pups Training currently focuses on nurturing, training, educating, and motivating our trainers to better equip themselves with skills, knowledge, experience to ensure continuing education and keeping abreast with the field of dog training. Our flagship programs include online cyber puppy training, life skills, dog obedience, behavioral modification, private one-on-one home-based training, and dog spots.
So when we want to play, again, we use the example of the tug toy, right? If you want to work with the tug toy, think of it this way, right? Your toy should be, always think about, there's few things you need to remember. One, the toy is always moving away from the dog, right? If you want your dog to bite the toy has to get moving away from the dog. I've seen a lot of trainers, a lot of owners, a lot of dogs enthusiasts, when they start to learn how to play with the dog, you realize that they are always pushing the toy to the dog's mouth. So if the toy is always pushing to the dog's mouth, why do the dog wants to engage the play? Right, play, engage, it involve chase, involve going for a bite, involve, you know, what we call determination, staring at it, you know, after catching it, he will want to cue it, you know, so that is the intent of play, right? So therefore, if the toy is always moving towards the animal, and why will your dog be will be interested in the game of play, right? So now you must always remember rule number one, the toy must always be moving away from the dog, right? And that will basically turns on that chase instinct of the dog, because the toy is running away. It's like, just imagine a rabbit is running away, squirrel is running away from the dog, and then he would just want to chase it. That is what we want to arouse. We want to arouse that play drive of the dog where he will start chasing us with the toy. Okay, so that's the first part of engagement of the game, meaning, you know, the toy must always be moving away from the dog. Number two, the presentation of the toy, which is very important. A lot of the time when you see people play, you realize that the presentation of the toy is not clear. And therefore, what will happen is that, you know, the dog will either miss the toy and then end up on your hand, right? Which creates some training hazard, some training injury that you may not want to get yourself into, especially when you have a big dog like a Ballet Noir, you know, German Shepherd, the Border Collie, where their bites are strong, you know, or even small little dog like a poodle. I think their bites are quite strong in the sense, right? So if the presentation of the toy is not correct, therefore the dog will miss it. And if the presentation of the toy is not clear, that will discourage your animal to go for the cue, right? Go for the bite, because he's not sure that he can do that, right? So you have to think about it, right? And also you need to think that when I present a toy, it has to be all-rounder, right? Meaning that I have to present the toy, a clear presentation of the toy on my left, I have to present the toy on my right, I have to present the toy on my front, I have to present the toy on my back, so that the dog understand that, you know, the toy can come out from any aspect of the handler or the trainer, and then the dog can go for the cue, right? And that will continuously flush the dog with excitement, you know, continue to create that determination, continue to provide the dog that instinct of chase or play, you know, continue to get him aroused in a sense. Therefore, he's able to then go for the cue, right? And then the play or game will be or continuation that will be better. Right, so this is number two. Right, number three, the game of play will always tell you, right, always engage the dog the correct way, right? When we talk about a game, we take a reference to the Tug of War, right? Because Tug of War is one of the games that I think has been frequently you see people using the Tug of War with the dog. Tug of War doesn't need to have a special Tug of War toy, right? I do my tug of war with my leash. My leather leash becomes a tug of war, because I realize sometimes, you know, when I'm outside, I may not have food, I may not have toy with me, and then I will use my leash as a game, right? As a point of bite, as a tug toy. Therefore, my dog will be fully engaged with me in the presence of dogs, the presence of people, in the presence of car, in the presence of distraction. You know, he will still be so engrossed in the play with me. Therefore, I'm able to get the dog attention in the very highest level of distraction. I'm able to get the dog out, because he knows that I have a game that I can engage him, that is endless, that is fun, that's always looking forward to it. He's always looking forward, because when I'm there, the game becomes alive, right? So that's a very critical part, which is the third part of the training, right? So as I say again, you know, don't just think out of the box, okay? Don't be so engrossed and just think that it has to be a tug toy, it has to be a rope format. When it's not a rope format, I cannot play. This is definitely not correct, right? Because any toy, any form, any shape, any texture, that if you can make it something fun for your dog to go for it, you know, to arouse that interest of the dog, that toy, that game that you're using, that equipment becomes a form of tug toy, and that is your capability as a handler. Okay, I tell you straight into your face, if you have been training for a long time like myself, I get into competition when I was having my first dog in 2001. I started competition since then, right? And I've titled many dogs together with my wife. I think we have done really well. We have three, what we call that, we have three national champion, three different dogs. You know, we have two dual champion. You know, we have win multiple awards, you know, in terms of agility, obedience, you know, even the highest utility trial. We are also, as one of my dog is 6 years in a row, both in the obedience and in the utility class in Singapore, you know, and that can only be done is because that we have engaged the dog with a very good game of duck. Well, I can tell you when I get out the toy with Max, he just go nuts. And I'm able to control him. I'm able to get him to engage the game. I can get him to have restraint. I can get him to drop the leash. Right? So typically, of course, when it comes to the toy, type of game, obviously you need to have the leave it command. You need to have the drop, the release command. But today, this is not what we're intending to address here. Right? Today, we are just trying to look at how you should look at toy, how you should look at play. You know, what is play to you? How you can utilize play as a form of training, right? Because all of us, sometimes we may have some difficulty getting the dog interest, which is not wrong, right? Because they are a living organism. It's never easy to engage a dog. You know, sometimes you may have some that is hard to engage. Like for myself, to date, I have this border collie. That's already like 3 years plus. And he's just a lovely dog when he's at home, right? And when he gets out of the house, you know, he's a different dog. He's a devil for sure, you know, and it's so difficult to get him to focus on you. I have bring him to class. I still remember even after an hour of engaging him, he's still not fully into you. You know, after an hour where he basically get all his satisfaction of all the destruction in terms of sight, smell, text, taste, you know, whatsoever he's engaging himself into, you know, and after a long 1.5 hour, then he began to cool down, where he can start to operate, start to listen, you know, where he's within the threshold, as what a trainer will call that. That's where we can start engaging him, right? And I'm happy to report that to date, he is a different dog now. He is now getting a lot more responsive when we are heading out to the door. You know, I get him to do a lot of very simple, you know, etiquette of getting out of the door. He needs to sit before he get out of the door. Get out of the door, he needs to sit, you know, before the lift, he needs to sit before he gets into, and out of the lift, he needs to sit. And then when it goes down to what we call the pit stop or the pee area that I want him to pee again, he has to sit and wait for the release command before he goes and release. So I have very strict routine, right, which I think is very critical to re-engage, re-emphasize to the dog that, okay, now it's still in training mode. You know, even when you're outside, you need to respond, because when you respond, there is a consequence, right? This consequence will be something that you want. Meaning that you can get your food, you can get your toy, you know, you can get your pet from the owner. And this is how we want to engage the dog, right? So I just want to leave with you, right? So the beauty part of play and engagement in dog training is something that I think all of us should look into that. Because as I said, right, only when dogs are fully motivated, fully engaged with you in the game, he will then be able to then start to learn start to learn from you what you really want him to understand, right? This is the I think the important part of it. You know, just to share with you that typically there are four stages of learning for dog training, four stages of learning. So one is where the dog start to start acquisition, right, which means that they start to understand, pick up a skill, You know, and when you are able to get that, you need to make it into the next stage, which is what we call fluency, meaning that the dog is able to continuously perform that behavior. So like what I say, like in the play, you know, the presentation of the toy, you know, the dog needs to know that he can see you on the left, he can see the toy on the right, he can see the toy on the low, he can see the toy on the front or the top, right? So that will continuously get the dog to learn to perform that same behavior, right, in fluency in any situation, right? And then the third one, we will go into what we call a generalization, meaning to say that now the game can be not only at home, you know, not only in my yard, not only, you know, it can be outside when I'm walking the dog, you know, when we get into a dog park, you know, it can be just, you know, when we go for a jog, we can engage the game, when we, you know, sitting down there, you know, just waiting and cooling down, you can start the game and start to have some fun. You know, that is what we want the dog to do. And the last stage of training was what we would like to do. We call it the maintenance stage. So in terms of maintenance, is where you continuously to practice that behavior, right, to make sure that the behavior will still be fluent and occurring regularly as per what you have taught your dog. So again, never give up, right? I want to leave this with you. Press on as long as you have your training system correct. Again, our training system is ABC, right? A is what you call the antecedent, B is behavior, C is consequence, right? So if you match this ABC correctly, you will be able to get the dog to respond to you in no time, right? I hate to hear that when people tell me actually the corrective based training are faster, because I disagree, right? Because I will always think that the positive trainer that is training the dog doesn't have enough skill set, right? If I'm the one that's handling your dog, I can tell you, I can get the behavior up the same time that you can use, that you can get a behavior up using a corrective based training. Now, we are not here to challenge each other, to say that which technique is better, right? But end of the day, we are talking about the welfare of the dog, the quality of life, the enjoyment of the dog with the owner, and this is what we want for you to really understand, right? So okay, so I will leave it for now today, and I hope you like this episode. I will see you soon. Bye. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. And you can find us in www.pups.com.sg. And again, pups is pups.com.sg. And if you like our podcast and our episode, we will want you to, you know, to subscribe on the favorite listening podcast media, and you will be able to get the updated series as and when we have a new episode out for grabs, right? And we want you to provide us some feedback and some reinforcement so that we can continue to do a great job, provide a great experience and a great podcast to share with you guys. You can leave a review at www.podcaster.com/pupssg. Right, as I repeat again, you can leave a review at www.podchaser.com/pups, PUPSSG. Right, and we want to thank you again. We see you in our next episode.